Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all my shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Beatles, music, wine, and then loop up and get on top.
The glory hole is like a dick theater of a magic around.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love.
Hello, everyone in podcast land. This is Mrs. Atom.
And this is Mr. Atom.
And the gentleman. Yay!
You know, I just want to say, every time we have you on, our numbers spike. Like people, I don't know what they're searching for to download, but they see your name and they're like,
yes.
Yes. So we should have called this the Gentleman Podcast.
They just want to hear me make a fool of myself, that's all.
Well, sure, we'll go with that.
That's okay. That's fine, too.
Yeah. This is what I'm like all the time. You know what I mean?
That's why we keep you around, is you're fucking entertaining as hell. So, we just got back from a couple of weeks at Desire.
Yeah.
And we have not told the gentleman really anything.
Nope.
Anything at all.
Nope.
No, we've kept it because we thought that this would be one of those great situations where he could ask the questions that all the people want to ask. Unfortunately, he forgot to ask the people the questions that they wanted to ask, so he's going to have to come up with his own questions for the people to ask.
I'm following and it makes sense, yes.
Thanks, that was all improv.
Yeah, so we went to 2 weeks at Desire. We did the first week was at Riviera Maya with the Life on the Swing set takeover.
Yes.
And then, and it was actually not a full takeover. I think it was like 90% of the rooms or something. Yeah. Most of a takeover. Yeah. But there were some non-swing setters there. And then the second week was a partial takeover at Pearl, Desire Pearl. And that was with the podcast, or put together by the podcast We Got a Thing with Mr. and Mrs. Jones and Swinging Down Under with C&D.
Yes.
So yeah, it was two great weeks, two different weeks. And yeah, so do you want to fire away questions?
Well, first of all, a big shout out to the gentleman for spending the night before. You were already, Angela was already in the States, so he was company for me.
I was going to say that the last I saw you was dropping you off at the airport, giving you a pat on the bum and saying having a good time. Yeah.
The last you saw me was knocking over all my suitcases as you drove away.
That's right.
I don't know if you remember that.
That's right.
But I was driving off. I had five people around me all go, "Aww," because I had so much goddamn suitcases.
And yet nobody helped.
Nobody helped me.
Look at that poor fella. Let's go, kids.
Don't look him in the eyes, kids. He'll ask for money. Yeah, so that was the last you saw me. But yes, thank you very much for dropping me off. We had a good night before we left.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of porn, a little bit of oral, and yeah, a lot of... then the next morning, we had a masturbation race.
That's right.
Who won?
We both came in first. When you have a masturbation race, nobody really comes second.
There's no ribbon for second place.
Oh my god! Yeah, it was one of those things. It was like, oh, we gotta go. I was like, do you have time for it? Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
There's no ribbon, but there is cum rags.
Right. So I was like, I have an 18-hour transit time where I'm not going to have a chance to masturbate. This is going to happen. This is happening.
This is the last time. It's not going to feel awkward when I do this.
So, yeah, that was fun. Okay, so now, that was just a thank you very much for dropping me off at the airport. And,
you're very welcome.
Laughing at me as I tumbled.
So the trip over there. So yes. you met Angela... At...
In LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, because I'd gotten in, I had been working in the States that week before, and I got to LA the Tuesday night before everything, and at that point, I was not in a good mood when I got to LA, because it was like 10:30 at night when I landed, and then I still had to, you know, get to the hotel and everything, and I hadn't eaten in forever, and of course, U.S. flights, they don't actually give you anything substantial to eat on the plane.
I guess these nuts.
Yeah, you get like a bag of like snack mix or something, and actually, no, they did have bananas.
Hey, that's nice. That's new.
Yeah, that is new. But there really wasn't anything substantial, and because of the time of day that I left, I wasn't hungry when I left the airport.
It wasn't the kind of banana you were hoping for.
No. And so, yeah. But yeah, it had been...
She wanted something more appealing.
All right, we're going to stop with the banana.
It didn't make her split.
Stop with the banana.
Sorry.
But yeah, so basically I got to the hotel at like 11:30 at night. I was starving. I was exhausted. And... I checked in. I'm sure I looked like a walking zombie. And I checked in. I knew the restaurant was closed. And I was like, is there anywhere around I can get food? And he's like, there's a 24-hour diner across the road. I was like, awesome. Is the food edible? And he's like, I eat there sometimes. I was like, good enough. It's like, yeah. Drop my suitcase off. Go get some food.
I'm surprised you didn't look at him and go, how you doing?
No. Yeah, I came back and absolutely crashed out because I knew that I wanted to get up early and be up and ready to go when you landed in the morning.
Yeah,
because
I landed
so you guys met in the morning, not at the
because I landed like 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of funny because I did the quick check to see how far the hotel was from the airport. And when I checked, I foolishly didn't realize that I checked at 2 a.m. L.A. time.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, look, it's only a 20-minute drive. But I landed at 7 a.m., and then by the time I got in the cab, it was like, what, 7:30 probably.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like a 40-minute cab ride because of fucking traffic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, LA good times. Traffic is wonderful.
Yeah. So, did you spend the day in LA then? Or
yes.
Was it traveling straight away?
No, we spent the day.
We had 3 days in LA.
Yeah, we did. Okay. I think the first thing we did was shop.
We
for
did.
Sexy
that's
stuff.
Right. And you went to the Magic.
That was the second night.
That was the second night?
Yeah.
So the first night, and I think this really helped Bradford to kind of reset a bit and to fight jet lag, because the first night we went to Halloween Horror Nights. And so
at Universal Studios.
At Universal.
Yeah.
So it was so much fun. It was really awesome, but it was also sensory overload, so there's no way you can get sleepy.
Uh-huh.
We took like an hour and a half nap in the middle of the day.
Yeah, we did.
But so we went shopping the first day. We went to Stockroom in L.A. If you've not been to Stockroom, it's fucking amazing. So much latex. Mm-hmm. Angela bought 3 dresses. I bought latex suspenders. I know, right?
Fantastic.
And we bought a couple of little toys here and there.
Yeah, some random stuff.
Yeah. And so we did more sexy shopping in LA as well.
Yeah.
In fact, we did mostly sexy shopping, and then we did some clothes shopping where I bought, I don't know, 30 pairs of socks and underwear, and we bought so much stuff we had to buy a suitcase.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you just loosen your belt?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you're sitting on our couch naked. It's hot in here.
It's hot.
You're sitting on the couch shirtless, which is really distracting. And Angela's sitting next to you in bra and panties. And look,
which is really distracting.
I mean, I was commenting her.
Look,
on
we're
her,
distracting together.
I know, right? Aww. Her tits have, in the past 2 months, they seem like they're ginormous.
They're not any different.
They look cleavagier.
Sure.
Is that a word?
It is
cleavagier.
They are looking very cleavagey.
Clavigi.
Clavigi.
It's because I'm wearing a bra again, whereas the past 2 weeks I've not worn a bra.
That's it. That's it. That's correct. So, yeah, the first night we went to Halloween Horror Nights, which we enjoy. We like haunted houses.
Yeah.
The second night we went to the Magic Castle.
Which was magical.
Okay, so real quick, I know this is not a sex podcast, a sexual health podcast, and not a magic podcast, but I do want to say, if you don't know what the Magic Castle is, it's been around for 55 years, they have 5 bars, a restaurant, and 3 performance spaces. We got our cocktails when we first got there. We were in this little room that had a player piano, and we get our cocktails, and I said, to a wonderful vacation, cheers, and clink the glasses together. The second the glasses clink together, the player piano starts playing the theme song from the television show, Cheers.
Oh, how good is that?
And
that
I was wish, awesome. I really wish that there was a picture of our faces when that happened.
Yeah.
Both of us had that look. Like, it's like,
this is so magical.
Which, don't get me wrong, I realize that's an easy illusion to create. But holy fuck,
but they weren't expecting it, and it was just...
Yeah, it made the night.
I was going to say, the effect is good.
Yeah.
That is so great.
It started the night off with that mentality that this whole night is going to be magical.
I've got a lot of questions about the magic place. Magic house? What do you call it? The magic castle.
Yeah.
Do you have to perform a trick to get in?
No.
No.
Because you're a great magician yourself.
It's an illusion, Michael. Tricks are for whores. Sorry, that's an Arrested Development. So you just have to know somebody who is, I think, either an International Brotherhood of Magicians or the American Magicians Association.
They can put you on a list.
Yeah, and so we got a list from an IBM member, which I used to be an IBM member way back in my college days. I got a new trick to show you, by the way. Anyway.
is it sword swallowing?
Which I did in the pool at Desire.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
With a balloon animal sword. And honestly, what was great about that is I started doing it, and everyone was like, oh, look, he's really doing it. And then a couple of the people, there's about five or six people around, they were like, whoa, that's really good. And then once I got the whole balloon in my mouth, everyone was like, holy fuck, how did you do that? Turned out pretty good. I was very proud of myself.
Yeah.
A big shout out to some of the people from Passion in Paradise. You know who you are. You taught me to do that.
Yeah.
And was there a lineup of cute guys just waiting?
Actually, there was a pretty good lineup of cute guys. But that's part of the later stories.
Oh, that's later stories. Okay, right. So
Magic Castle was awesome. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And then we went to bed early on the last night. So it was mainly shopping, Universal Studios, and Magic Castle was LA.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, Saturday morning, we got up early and took off to Cancun.
Yeah. Lovely.
So your first impressions of pulling up to the resort?
Our first impression was there had been a rainstorm right before as we were in the plane, there was a rainstorm there. And so when we got there, it wasn't actively raining. But there had been there's a little bridge that you have to go across to get to the resort, and there had been some flooding of it, and it's a crocodile area. So there are signs up of, like, beware of the crocodile, and then you're going through this, like, flooded moat area across the bridge.
So my first thought was, aren't bridges supposed to be over the troubled waters? But this bridge was about, I don't know, 10 centimeters under the water.
Right, okay.
But we still drove right across it.
But they're just freshwater crocodiles, right? They're not saltwater crocodiles.
Well, it's brackish water.
It's brackish. Oh,
so, brackish. I don't know if they're... they're not the same crocodiles that we have here in Australia. No. So, they're not as big. But crocodiles are temperamental.
They're still crocodiles.
Yeah, they're still crocodiles.
That's why they say, you know, after a while, crocodile.
Yeah, but no, actually...
I was going to say, where's that going? But you weren't walking across the bridge. You just drove across it, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, but then that means you're trapped at the resort. Ooh.
Yeah, but
sounds horrible. I don't know how you survived. So the balloon sword was for self-defense purposes.
I it's funny. I think I was still in that whole, holy shit, we're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really, I don't think I had, like, it looked like a typical resort, to be honest, from the outside.
Yeah.
And it was very nondescript is the word I would use. You've got a big wall that says Desire, a gatekeeper who took all of our names on the transfer.
Made sure that we were on the room list.
And then when you pull up, it just looks like a nice hotel, really. Mm-hmm. It's a low kind of building to
one
walk
story.
Into.
Yeah.
Okay.
We dropped all of our gear off, and they were like, all right, we'll take it straight to your room. We're like, okay, wow. And then we walked in and checked in.
And that actually was really nice that they take the, and I know it's typical, but that they took all the luggage there because we were getting in, I think it was around 4:30 in the afternoon. So a lot of people had already arrived. There were still people arriving for the next few hours. But because there were already a lot of people there, we were able to just walk in and kind of get going and not be like, oh, hold on, I got to deal with my bags and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just kind of let us get off the ground running, basically. Uh-huh.
I will say, the first, so they have an ID bracelet on you, and the ID bracelet has to do with how many times you've been at the resort and blah, 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 blah. It was kind of surreal for the first time getting that bracelet put on for me.
Because it's on the whole week. You can't take it off.
Yeah.
Oh, because
it's,
oh, right.
Okay. It's sort of that marker so that when guards see you, that's my assumption.
You're right.
It is.
They know you belong.
The security guys.
Because the beach is open. So technically you could walk from another resort onto the beach and then come in.
Uh-huh. Well, you can't come in because that's why the guards are there.
Right. But there's security there 24/7.
Yeah.
There was never a time that there wasn't a security guard at the, or two.
Yeah, several of them.
At the beach.
Right.
Mm.
Sounds like a pretty sweet gig on that week.
Yeah, I know. But it was actually, it was nice though because we walked, we got checked in very quickly, got checked in. It didn't take long at all to get that sorted. And then we exited the lobby area where we were checking in and there's a big courtyard kind of thing. And there's like a bar on one side, some villas on the other and another building. So, but this big courtyard and across from us is where they had the table set up to make our name necklaces. So you make a, for the swing set week, you make a necklace with your name on it, and there's different colored beads for like kinky, your kink curious,
I was gonna
straight,
ask,
gay.
How did, was there a visual identification on the way you play?
And then introvert and extrovert had different colors. I think those were the three categories mainly.
And then if you had, if you were new, if it was your first time, a special color for first timers.
Right.
Okay.
And then there were also other little pendants and things that you could adorn it with.
And it was all about being your own personality, however you wanted.
And you didn't have to put all the colors on if you didn't want to. It was just, but it was basically you go over and you make your own necklace. And that was really our first introduction because we walked up to the table. There were people there and immediately we were like, hi, and just start introducing yourself. And I think we were both still in that super excited, holy shit kind of mood that I know I personally was like, oh, look, a bunny. And I kept getting distracted by people and things and stuff. And oh, look, there's a bar. And oh, but I have to make my necklace. And it was just, it was so hard for me to focus.
It was very funny for Angela to make her necklace and then goes, I don't know how to tie this. She's shaking her head and the nice lady is like, I'm gonna tie it for you. Thank you. And it's funny because I know, I'm assuming I'm gonna speak for you as well, I've rarely seen Angela like that, where she is
that excited
and where she is like, oh, look, a bunny. She is often easily distracted, but she's almost constantly in complete control. And this was one of those moments where you could tell she was like just looking around
in
like,
the candy store. Oh,
I'm
so excited to be
here.
Yeah.
But it's, so there were a lot of people doing this at the same time, assumedly.
But when
so
we got there
with
seven other people.
Did
you feel when you walked in it was open and accepting straight away? I mean, just the idea of the bracelet straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Be who you want to be this week.
Yeah.
Be who you are.
And I think what was really kind of a constant theme for me that week, but really hit me hard the first day and the first couple of hours, was that when we went up to the name necklace thing, like the people that were behind the table and the people that were around the table making necklaces and things, it was immediately, you just strike up a conversation. It was not, it wasn't awkward. It wasn't anything. It wasn't like, oh, so where are you from? What do you do? It was just, you just start talking about random stuff.
In that instance too, I can just imagine if you were that way, emotionally excited, that everybody else would have been as well. You would have been putting up some great energy.
Yeah. The energy was awesome.
Yeah.
But it was like that, the people there, there was a group of people sitting in some, a lounge area off to the side of the lobby courtyard. And so we went and sat and talked to them. Finn and Emma from Normalizing Non-Monogamy were over there.
Yeah.
And some other folks were. So immediately we go over there. But it was just super easy to join a group, to go up to a couple, to go up to an individual and just start talking. And there were no barriers. There was no, oh, who are you? What are you doing coming over here and talking to me? It was just immediately like, hi! And you just felt like you've, or I felt like I've known these people for years, even though we've literally just met.
It was, for me, it felt like a high school reunion for people that we didn't go to school with. You know, because it's, although I shouldn't even say that, because I think at high school reunions, it's typically like that Facebook fake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're only positive. These people were genuinely positive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's,
but then you would have been, they would have been mirroring your attitude as well, because you would have been sending off that too.
So I think,
and if everybody was doing the same thing, it would have been a great environment just to sit in.
Yeah, I think what it ends up being is that, you know, realistically, we were all a group of the band kids, the theater kids, the misfits from growing up. And then when we grow up and we're still who we are sexually, we're still misfits.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a place where you could be a misfit. You knew that you were, and everyone around you was a misfit for some reason. Is it your kink? Is it your sexuality?
Uh-huh.
Is it your lifestyle being polyamorous? Somehow you're a misfit from society. But here in this little microcosm, for just a little while, we are all broken in the exact same way, and that
that's, being a misfit was the norm.
Yeah. So it was like the Isle of Misfit Toys. It was great. And so it was one of those things that you're immediately like, I know, I often wear walls and shields and faces, and the number of people
we
that,
all do. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
True.
Yeah.
But the number of people that I am truly my authentic me in front of realistically is a short list. I mean, other than the people in this room, there might be two or three others. But there, it was immediately, I felt like, without even realizing
just
that it happened,
down.
I don't think I realized it until maybe day two or three, that the walls were down. I was just my authentic me, which is really weird.
Yeah. How good is that, though? And like you said, to be two or three days in, and then to think, oh, God, maybe I should... No, I shouldn't, because I'm already who I am now. That's great. Just back from that, were you... Was there a chatting going on before on Kik or something like that with other...
So they do a thing called Rocket Chat.
Okay.
And it was a whole group of people. So if you're a friend or a Patreon of... A patron of Life on the Swing Set, you get to go on their Rocket Chat. If you're going to the takeover, Swing Set Takes Desire, then they put you on that Rocket Chat as well. And everybody gets a little...
There's different groups.
Yeah, different groups and different like sort of channels. So we were all in this channel. And there was a lot of talking back and forth. Admittedly, I didn't do a lot of talking on it because...
I did more stalking just because of timing.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah.
Because
we're
in a different time zone. So it's sometimes difficult to comment on things as they happen.
Yeah. Especially when it's day and night, isn't it? So it's almost a 4-hour kind of...
So then you're going back like, oh, you're going back to this comment way up here.
Yeah.
So I think, like, I know I did a lot more stalking, occasionally commenting, but not a whole lot, really, beforehand.
So then, you know, we saw, you know, talking about dropping walls, early on in the first day, we saw Cooper.
Yeah.
So, who has been a beacon for me and has a hero for me, and... ultimately is just a normal guy and who is so easy to talk to and is a wonderful human being. And it was, I think for me, it was that hugging him for that first time was the official, all walls are down, I can be me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's interesting because to touch on something that you kind of glanced over in all of that talking, but the Swing Set group is made up of people that are, I would say, generally that trifecta of you've got your swingers, you've got the polyamorous people, you've got the kink people. A lot of us do kind of roam between different aspects of those worlds.
Ends up being a
Venn diagram. Very few of us are like one or the other. But that group is kind of a nice melding of them all together. And even if you're not kinky, if you're just a swinger or you're polyamorous or whatever... If you're a swinger or polyamorous or whatever, but you're not kinky, then that's okay. Like, it doesn't matter. You're still accepted, and they would still accept you. And if you're, you know, a kink person, but you're not a swinger, then, well, that's okay, too. And it's just, or if you're somewhere in between, which many of us, I think, are somewhere along that spectrum.
Yeah.
But it was just completely accepting of whoever, whatever you are, and just, again, not having to...
It really was
a
mentality of you be you.
Yeah.
Just be your authentic self, and that's enough. You don't have to do anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just happened so quickly and naturally that we just, both of us just kind of was like, poof, done.
Yeah. Well, that's a great, I mean, that's the perfect environment for the hosts of the whole thing. That's, I mean, I'm sure that's their pinnacle goal.
Well, yeah,
but
I mean,
to have people come from all over the world and just be who they want to be.
Yeah.
You know?
And this was their 7th year of doing it.
And to have a group of like-minded, really, individuals come and be who they really are. And like you say... have a group of people who are pretty much all the same. It's like, we are all misfits. We are all kink or queer in that particular way or a certain particular way, and we're all here together.
Yeah.
No qualms. I was really jealous that you know, you guys were experiencing that, and I was at home going, I was watching on Twitter and all the things you were doing. I was like, oh, how good is that? I was so happy for you. You know, I was so happy that you guys were out there doing it. It was really good to see. And Twitter was just immersed with everybody. I was, you know, DP 2018. I was like, oh, yeah, double penetration. Oh, no, that's right. Desire Pearl, yeah.
Yeah, between the hashtag SS Desire and the hashtag DP 2018.
Yeah.
The first was the first week. The second was the second week. There was a lot of hashtagging going on.
There was a lot of hashtagging going on, yeah.
We weren't meaning to rub your nose in it.
Well, is it compersion?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yay. So I mean.
Okay, so that was, so we covered you getting there. You've made your necklaces. Your bracelets on.
Can I comment about getting there one more time?
Okay. Sure.
Okay. So this was something that is mentioned as well in the Life on the Swing Set, their live podcast, and it was something that we had discussions with Ginger and Prof about, because they often say that there's a difference between getting there and arriving there.
That's a good point.
Because you get there, and you're physically, your body is physically there, but you may not mentally or emotionally arrive and be ready to be in that environment and to be ready to drop those shields and to accept everything, accept yourself, whatever. That may not happen. It may happen immediately. It may take a few hours. Uh-huh. For some people, it takes a couple of days. And I think that's something that Bradford and I have realized in doing a few of these trips now, is that we need a few days to come down, get out of daily life, get out of work mode, reconnect with each other before going into something like this. And for us, having that time in LA beforehand was really helpful. But we've done trips like this where we have had time to come down, and then trips where we haven't. And we can tell a big distinction in that it does take us a couple of days to get there and to actually arrive.
Yeah.
And so I really like the way that Ginger and Prof put that, and the difference between getting there and arriving there, because it is the difference in physically being there and mentally and emotionally being there. And
yeah, I can understand.
Being
that.
A participant.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I think, honestly, for me, I got there, and then my arrival was Cooper's hug.
Yeah.
For me. I don't know what you would have said yours was, but
I think you had built that moment up too.
I did. Yeah. I had. There's no question. Yeah. I idolized him. I still like him a lot. I'm not going to say idolize him because I know he's uncomfortable with that word. But yeah, it was one of those things that I had. I'd idolized him. And to be honest, he was exactly the person that I needed. And so the person that I wanted, you know, so it ended up being great. But that for me was that moment. It was like, okay, I'm here. I'm queer. Get used to it. Now, I guess I got used to it. So, yeah.
Right.
Do you have your moment? Do you know what your moment
is? I don't think there was necessarily an actual moment like that for me, but it was, I would have said, it took a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Because the first few hours, I was kind of bouncing around. And even after we sat down to talk to people in that lobby area, the lounge area, people were kind of moving around as well, doing their thing. And so, and it was like, oh, look, here's some nice people. And oh, here's nice people. And I think once I kind of settled down and just calmed down from all the initial excitement, I think that's when I felt like I actually arrived. Because then it was like, all right, now I can start figuring this out.
Is it hard to remember people's names?
No, because everybody's wearing a fucking necklace, dude.
Everyone's wearing a necklace. Everybody's that.
And actually, even though later in the week, you know, oftentimes we would forget to put our necklaces back on, or if they didn't work with the costume or whatever. But I did so well with people's names because I'm a visual person. So when you introduce yourself and you have a necklace on and I can read it as well as hear it,
that's so good. A lot. I think I'm the same way. Because you could see the face with the name. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because just hearing it, I would likely forget. It would go in one ear and out the other. But reading it really helped me.
Because the entire time you're having a conversation with somebody, you're looking around and you're glancing at their necklace.
Yeah.
So every time you glance at that necklace, you're reiterating who they are.
Uh-huh.
So it's no longer like, oh, well, let's remember that, you know, Angela starts with A and she talked about asphalt, you know, whatever. She talked about
asses.
Her. It's like, Angela starts with A and she has a fantastic ass.
Taking asses, yeah.
You know, so you're looking at her. And
that's how I remember it.
The entire time. I know, right? That's why sometimes I call her Astula. Astula. Which sounds like a horrible disease. Oh, man.
It does.
My Astula is really acting up on me today. But, you know, it is one of those things that you're constantly glancing at that necklace, and it's just sort of solidifying
who they are. And also, I suppose, to the colors of the necklace as well. Once you can identify
where their kink is. It's interesting because I didn't pay attention to the colors as much necessarily. Because some people, I would say, because most people were very open and forthcoming. What I did pay attention to more than any other color was the introvert and extrovert. Because if there was somebody that had an introvert bead on theirs, then I would be more likely to go up to them first instead of expecting them to come to me.
Right. So I will say, as a bisexual male in a swinging community, every guy I looked at, I looked at their
to see if they had
color.
Purple.
Yeah, if they had a purple one. It was red, yellow, and purple. So it was straight, yeah. Curious, and bi.
Right.
I thought it was straight, gay, and bi.
Maybe it was straight, gay, and bi. Maybe it was.
I think, I don't know.
There may have been a curious as well then. Anyway, doesn't matter. So I was very focused on that. Because, again, not wanting to make anybody uncomfortable. Yeah. But at the same time, knowing that this was a space where I could be me, it was great. But yeah, I did notice it on everybody's.
Yeah.
What can I say?
So we're in the resort. You've been to your room. You've got the necklaces on.
Yep.
That first night, was there a welcoming dinner, or was there a welcoming function, or where everyone got together?
Yes, there was something. There was a, I think it was just a cocktail hour kind of thing, wasn't it?
Probably. Was it not hot tub happy hour?
Well, probably that as well. Admittedly, I don't remember. No, there was cocktails in the courtyard. Yes.
Okay.
I don't remember anything about that, to be honest.
That was a lot of drinks ago.
So, I will say.
In the courtyard?
I will say.
What is it? Happy hour, hot tub?
Hot tub happy hour.
Every afternoon, like 4 or 5 o'clock, it'd be hot tub happy hour. Everybody go up in the hot tub. We'll talk about that.
Yes. So, I will say that we did recordings every single day. At the end of the day, we did a quick 4 to 6 minute recording.
We covered every day, but sometimes we forgot a day and did 2 days in one.
Yeah, right. because alcohol. So we've got all these days that we can then go back and refer to. All of those are going to go up on our Patreon for all of our $2 and above Patreon listeners or supporters. So if you want to hear that, there's an hour and 36 minutes worth of us rambling on about each and every fucking day.
So that would be good, though.
Brain to mouth, the microphone.
It really was. Yeah.
So I will say that first day, the hot tub happy hour. So every day there was kind of I don't know if it was official or unofficial, but basically 4 or 5 p.m. There would be hot tub happy hour where everybody go up to the hot, or you know, whoever wanted to go up to the hot tub and just have drinks, whatever, chill out before dinner. The first day when we went up for the hot tub happy hour, this was like we've gotten there. We hadn't been there for very long at all. And so that was the other thing. When we did get there, I was very much immediately, I'm getting naked. Like, I clothes off, I'm done with these clothes things.
Uh-huh.
And so I was basically
naked.
What are
these things?
Yeah, I was basically naked immediately. I did, you know, we keep a sarong around here and there, but
I was not.
It took Brett for a little bit longer.
It took me a little while longer to acclimate to, okay, I'm going to show everybody my pee-pee.
Yeah. but anyway, so we went up to the hot tub happy hour. So the hot tub at Riviera Maya is upstairs. So we went up the stairs, we turned the corner, and the hot tub's not huge. It's okay size, but it's not like super ginormous.
It's about half the size of this room.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Mm. You know, it probably is.
I would say it's the size of an average bedroom.
Okay. I would say it was a little bigger, but it's weirdly shaped. Anyway, so we walked up there, and there were just a mass of people in the hot tub, and I did a very quick count, and we counted about 55 to 60 people in the hot tub.
Holy crap.
And there was still room, so we jumped in.
We did.
And was it one of those, because you jump in and you just sort of stand where you land?
No.
It was very much a...
Oh, really?
You jump in, and again, it was like going to a cocktail party where everybody's naked and standing in a hot tub. So,
let it go, girl. Yeah.
Nobody at home can see our living room anyway.
Yeah.
You're wandering around and you go, oh, excuse me. It's like, oh my God, hi, how are you? And we were, admittedly, we were in a pretty lucky situation that a lot of people were either familiar with the podcast, familiar with our names from the Rocket Chat, or were listening to the podcast, actively listening. So that was kind of cool. Because it made it easier, because we're...
Well, because people had an entry point to say,
exactly.
Start a conversation with you, yeah.
So, the hot tub area, there's also a bar at one end of the hot tub, so you can get drinks and stuff.
Sounding better and better.
I know, right?
You can also sit on the other side of the bar and be out of the hot tub. There are beds, like, all around the hot tub area, so if you want to...
There were three up right next to the hot tub and seven.
Yeah, I think down around the other side. So you can, like, play and whatever on the hot tub beds.
You know, which is something we never did at either resort. No point did. Well, I did actually. I had a very nice. Yeah. I had a very nice.
I like play. That. It's something we never. Oh no, wait, I did.
I did without Angela, which was there was very little play in the 2 weeks that was separate play.
Oh, but his partner and I were watching YouTube.
Yeah, you guys were. Uh-huh. She and her.
We were both from the hot tub.
Yeah, in the hot tub, and he and I may have been. Woof.
We were cuddled up a little bit woof. Watching.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. 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 You'd have been right up there.
Put on, oh, yeah, for sure. You put on a little bit of a show, were you?
Maybe a little bit. So, yeah, it was good.
Tell me more, tell me more.
Did you get very far? Yeah. So he's another one of those strict bottoms. But then afterwards he told me, he's like, you could make me a top. Yeah, I could. Have you seen this ass? Come on. Yeah. Anyway.
He most certainly did.
Anyway, sploosh.
So hot tub fun?
We spent so much more time in hot tubs in the last 2 weeks than I think we have in our entire lives.
I think you could have added my spa hot tub time to Angela's spa and hot tub time and added those together, multiplied it by two, and that would have still been more than either of us singularly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There was a lot of hot tub spots.
At one point, we spent 4.5 hours in the spa.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think we got in there at around 10 and
left at
2:30.
Sounds like a great social point, though. For everybody.
It
is.
It really is. And it's weird because it's one of those places where you sit down and you just chat about life.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the stars are up there. Most every night it was a clear night.
Well, I was going to ask that because you said that it was just clearing from a storm when you arrived.
Yeah.
It was great. It rained once while we were there.
Yep.
From about 4 a.m. to about 5:30 a.m. Yeah. It downpoured.
Uh-huh.
And then it was beautiful the rest of the
sunshine
time.
Sunshine again. Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
But you would sit, and then at 2 a.m. they would turn the lights off in the hot tub, and then you just stargaze.
Uh-huh.
I mean, beautiful. You would chat, and some people would be performing oral sex, but...
Yeah.
But basically stargazing.
Yeah. I will say, I don't understand the people that perform oral sex in a hot tub because basically...
All the chemicals.
Between the chemicals and the fecal matter and the... Basically, it's human soup. Don't get out and then immediately put your mouth on somebody. That's disgusting. They did have a shower, but we saw nobody use it.
I did see people using it.
I saw nobody using it before sex.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I saw people using it. Okay. I don't know if it was before sex.
After sex.
Which is worse. Yeah. Anyway. So, and then we saw people fucking in the hot tub, which, God, I would hate to be her lady parts.
Yeah.
Just saying, that is not, anyway.
The day after.
Red one. So, yeah. Let's take a quick pause, and when we come back, we'll have a few more questions.
Day two.
From gentlemen. Yeah, I know, right?
No, we've only got through day one.
We've barely gotten through day one.
We've showed up, made necklaces, and got the laptop.
But we haven't gotten to the late night snacks yet.
Not yet. So when we come back,
late
night snacks.
So not day two. Still day one.
Join us on The Wet Coast, a podcast about sexuality and ethical non-monogamy of every variety. We talk polyamory and swinging, monogamous and open relationships, from dirty, dirty sex to heartbreak and everything in between. We share our personal experiences and philosophy, observations and theories, what works for us, and where we fucked it right up. This isn't your average couple's explain-a-brag podcast, though we definitely do a little of that. We share our adventures in open with a unique, funny, feminist, and Canadian approach. Come get wet with us on the Wet Coast.
I love that you keep waving at him in front of him. Shut up, man. Shut up. We have to go to commercial break. We have adverts now.
All right, but we're back.
Oh, we're back. Okay, so late night snacks.
Yeah, so basically I think, I don't know what time they officially started, probably midnight.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Or something, I don't know. But basically at, you know, 2, 3 a.m., whenever we were done with hot tub time and socializing and whatnot, we'd go down to back down to the lobby bar. And you had the option of getting a pizza, a BLT, or tacos.
Wait, pizza is a late night snack?
Yeah. I know, right? And it was like these pizzas.
Like that, little individual
like
size
dinner
pizzas,
plate size but yeah. pizzas.
Oh, yeah.
Or BLTs or tacos that were pollo or carne.
Yeah. And, yeah. and but it was oh, yeah. and that was also yeah. another kind of.
Give me two.
Yeah.
I had four one night.
Oh. My God. Okay.
But that was a nice kind of meeting social area before people would go off to bed and stuff. Some people would get their food and take it back to the room, but a lot of people sat there and just kind of ate the last bits and then, okay, see you in the morning, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, wait, I think I've lost something somewhere because this is well past 10:30.
Oh, yeah. This is 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So, we have the 10:30
hot tub. Time.
That was the hot tub time at 10:30.
Well, so we had hot tub.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you would have hot tub happy hour that sometimes we went to, sometimes we didn't. Then you would leave, you would go to dinner, you would
get dressed up in whatever
get dressed
the theme
up
night.
In whatever the theme was, and then they had like live bands or a DJ out in the courtyard and you would dance or chat.
So
or
I have a lot of questions for the theme nights.
Okay.
And then there would be, after the live band would go away, when they stopped playing, then they would start music up in the disco, which we never really did that.
We went one night, and it was not our style.
So they would do music up in the disco, so we would generally stay down in the courtyard and talk to people until we'd go back up to the hot tub.
Okay.
That was kind of our routine.
What was the demographic that...
Oh, good question.
That sort of showed up?
I would say average age was probably... 40?
Yeah, it was a 35 to 40.
35 to 40 was the average age. Yeah. I feel like we were just above the average, but
probably.
Just barely.
Yeah.
I know we talked to a few people who were in their mid or early 20s. We saw a few people who were in their late 60s.
Yeah.
But I would have, if you'd asked me to say that mean and the median age was around 37.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah, okay.
That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
I would say that it was pretty evenly distributed, male to female. It was probably a little heavier on the female side because there was, I know, two rooms that were both just women, two ladies, and one, two thruples, two triads.
Two triads.
I hate the word thruple.
Yeah.
Two triads that were
Male, female.
Yeah, male, female, female.
Yeah.
So it was probably just skewed towards ladies.
Okay. All right. So, great mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, again, everybody was just sort of, sweet and lovely human beings.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Really, some of the people we met are just absolutely amazing, beautiful people. Inside and out.
So, you touched on it a little bit earlier. Theme nights.
Yeah.
Yes.
What were they? What were you... What were your expectations versus the reality of what was there?
So, I will
Because I know you guys put in a lot of work into the prep for this...
Yes.
And your costumes looked amazing.
Aww.
I have seen a couple of the, from the Bedhoppers, they've been putting a couple of things on Twitter. They looked pretty damn cool as well.
They were cute.
They're adorable. I love them. So for the first week, I'm going to say 20% of people took the themes extremely seriously.
Yeah.
And did costume? We're in that 20% where if you're going to do a costume, you fucking go crazy.
Do a costume,
And then I would say the next 50% did it
minimal effort.
Yeah, they tried. Uh-huh. They put effort into it.
Yep.
And there's about 30% of the people
who just... But it's also, how much stuff do you want to bring?
So. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
About 30% of the people just either wore maybe a themed t-shirt or nothing at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say as well, a difference between the 2 weeks was that the first week, because there were other activities going on at nighttime and things... and, you know, even just socializing or going back up to the hot tub or whatever, we generally only kept our costumes on for like an hour or two. So they weren't on for very long.
No, right.
The second week, it was basically you put the costume on and then there was a show and then there was, you know, dancing in the disco, blah, 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 and then hanging out and talking to people. So there was a lot more kind of just sitting around in that time.
Right.
So we probably kept our costumes on for 3, maybe 4 hours before they came off to go to hot tub.
And they were also cooler costumes.
Yeah.
Realistically. Because the swing set costumes, the themes generally lend to more costume, if that makes sense. Whereas the second week was traditional Desire costumes. And
it was the traditional Desire themes.
They're traditional Desire themes.
Such as?
Nautical, little naughty nauticals, dress. Little red dress, lipstick and lingerie.
Okay. Wild
I mean, and I'm going to say, it was, it's the second week's costumes, we made them fun because we worked at it to make them fun.
Yeah.
They are boring as hell, traditional, heteronormative swinger themes.
Right.
Yeah.
For instance, the little red dress, the... Men's suggestion is like basically a suit.
Pants and suspenders.
Pants and suspenders
pants and
a red
suspenders.
Shirt.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Me, being me, I wore my LED harness and jock strap.
Uh-huh.
Where every strap
is red?
It's red LED.
And you had your LED on.
It's red LED and then I had my red shoes. My red LED shoes. So, which I will say, walking up was the first time I said this to Angela, and we were also with the Bedhoppers as we walked in. This is the first time I felt self-conscious about what I'm wearing, because as we were walking up to this group, every man was in slacks and a button-up.
Uh-huh.
Some of them had ties, some of them had suspenders, and I'm wearing a harness and a jock strap.
But
everybody
loved
was,
it.
Everybody,
it.
Yeah. A number of people walked up to us and were like, I love what you're wearing.
Yeah.
But it is. It's one of those things that the guys are always boring.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault. It's the theme night's fault.
And the suggestion.
Yeah, the suggestion is boring for the guys. It's all about dolling up the women and let's, you know, they're the only ones with any kind of style or value.
Yeah.
But the first week, they set their own themes because it's a takeover. So they don't do the traditional Desire ones.
Mm. So what were the themes on the first week? Give a bit of a rundown.
I've got
that.
A list. Hold on. Let me pull up my list.
There's a list.
Of course there's a list.
So the first week, and not in this order, but there was cabaret / Moulin Rouge.
Uh-huh.
There was fetish, which was the... that was on the dungeon night when they set up the dungeon and the disco. That was fetish night. There was fractured...
That just sounds great. Dungeon
and
the
disco.
Oh my
god, it was... Yeah. Fractured Fairy Tales. Pantheon of Gods and Goddesses. And then Pride, Rainbow, and True Colors. Oh, and two more, sorry. Stage and Screen, and then Sexy Sci-Fi.
Okay, so go through what you guys wore for each one of those nights.
So, Cabaret Moulin Rouge, I had my little feather skirt and feather pasties.
Yes.
I didn't do the tail because that was too much to take.
Right.
So just the little skirt.
Now, have you guys put these on
Twitter? Not all of them have been on Twitter.
No. They'll be coming up.
They'll be coming up. Yeah.
So, and then I had a little headpiece for that as well. And then Bradford had, did you wear the asymmetrical harness?
I wore my feather collar.
Oh, that's right. The feather collar.
Top hat.
And the cuffs.
And the
and
the
your
cuffs,
brocade pants.
And brocade pants.
Right.
And then the fetish knight, he was in his fox outfit. So he had his tail, his ears. He had little arm
Angela
and leg
has made
things.
Me arm and leg sleeves that are purple and black. Very excited for those.
Nice. Yep.
And we have, and then you had the collar on and the leash.
Yeah. And then Angela was my handler.
Yeah.
She was in a purple and black corset.
And then some lace leggings and that kind of thing. Fractured Fairy Tales, you were...
I was Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah.
I was the Beanstalk. I had my cloud underwear that I had made, the poofy cloud underwear.
Yes.
I'd wrapped vinage around my leg and up my chest, and I had a little Jack.
You had a little Jack climbing, up, your
climbing
leg.
Up my leg.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I was the magic bean dealer, so I had...
a tailcoat.
I had red bra and red fishnets on, and then some little ruffly black panties, a black tailcoat, and inside the tailcoat I had little bags of jelly beans like pinned to it.
Uh-huh.
And I had a little inflatable cow that I would carry with me.
That is fantastic. I love that.
It was great. That was one of my favorites of Angela's.
The Pantheon of Gods and Goddesses, Bradford, you had the leather vest that you got at Sexpo.
Yes.
When we were down in Adelaide.
Yeah, the mesh leather vests, which is hard to explain.
Right. And you had your wrist cuffs and leather pants on for that one.
A lot of leather.
And I believe you had the top hat. Was that Pantheon?
No.
No, that was Cabaret. Okay.
Cabaret.
And then I had the military harness that, from D-Design harnesses. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, so I had that.
I saw photos of that one.
It's epic. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. And then for Pride Rainbow True Colors, Bradford had on his
it was a rainbow tank top, yeah. Rainbow jockstrap, and a rainbow...
You had socks.
Rainbow socks.
Yeah.
And a rainbow tail butt plug.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then I had on the purple harness also from D. I had on a purple strap on and a rainbow dildo.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then I had my rainbow socks and pineapple shoes that I bought in L.A.
Oh, nice. Pineapple shoes.
I know.
Because I was going to go for my LED ones, but then I was like, but pineapples. So.
Uh-huh. But pineapples.
Yeah. Okay, so apart from you two, and you can't pick you two, other costumes that you saw, what impressed you the most?
Okay, so number one would be from Full Metal Heart.
Well, we didn't finish our...
Oh, sorry. Okay.
He was excited.
Yeah.
You want to go through the rest of them?
There's only two more. Week.
Okay.
So the two more are Stage and Screen was... I was Sweeney Todd and he was Mrs. Lovett.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gender bent Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
You look scary.
She was scary.
Very scary.
And
you had the razor blade.
Uh-huh.
And the eye makeup that you had.
Yes.
It was wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when Bradford had the meat pie that he made.
That's right. The bloody meat pie.
And then Sexy Sci-Fi, I was Supernova, and he was Vance Maximus from the Rick and Morty Vindicators.
Only one couple got it.
Yeah.
And they walked up and went, oh my God, you're a Vindicators.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So that couple is one of the couples that I would pick for amazing.
Mm-hmm.
On Sci-Fi, she was one of the Blue Jedi. Which I don't know. You know the ones with the two things that come off of their head?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was amazing. I should know this, but I'm not that big of a Star Wars fan. Please don't judge me. So she was fucking stunning because they had painted most of her body blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stunning. On the Gods and Pantheons night, he had a construction paper Anubis mask.
Nice.
It was massive.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So well crafted.
Yeah, you get them on Etsy. They're fantastic.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But
he would have to put that together
himself.
He did.
Yeah. He put it together there, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great commitment.
So then another couple that I would have commented on was on Cassidy, their Full Metal Heart.
Yeah.
I don't know which night, but she wore she handmade her own chainmail.
Oh, wow.
Chainmail.
Wow.
Bikini and top and bottoms. Mm-hmm. And then she handmade a dragon costume for him.
Yeah.
That was adorable.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was great.
Cute.
God, talented people.
I know, the amount of effort.
Then,
I know. Talented people. I hate you. There were so many cosplayers that were there, and you're like,
Oh, great.
I love you people, but
And then there was a couple that they had a lot of good ones as well, but I still say one of my most memorable ones of them was they had the unicorn onesies.
The unicorn onesies on their on Pride Night.
Yeah.
But then on Fairy Tale Night.
Oh, yeah.
She was Peter Pansexual and he was Tinderbell.
Yeah.
Fucking
that
amazing.
Is yeah. It's great to see that other people put in that much effort and, you know.
Yeah. Dude, and then the guy that I played with on that one night on the hot tub on Pride Night wore these high-heeled shoes the entire fucking night that were... He was already, like, probably 6'6".
He was tall.
With these shoes, he was like 6'9".
Oh my gosh.
He was huge. Yeah, right, baby, 69. and at one point I was like, are those comfortable? He goes, they're pretty. I was like, dude, massive respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was
the theme nights were fun. Yeah, the theme nights were fun because it was just it was good to see how creative people would be and how people would interpret the themes because we all interpret it a little bit differently. So sorry.
If just to go back to the 6 foot six guy with you know, with 5 inch heels on, was he your giant to your Jack and Beanstalk?
Oh my god! Oh. I would gladly let him ground my bones. Yeah, he's...
Did you steal his golden goose?
let's just say everything about him was size proportionate. Woof. Anyway, yes. Next question.
Oh, so that's right. So the theme nights, and what was the... general day today, like during the day, so that was the nighttime events. So from waking up in the morning to having breakfast to what would generally happen from day to day.
So
in the first week, I'm curious about
So we generally would wake up around maybe 10-ish, let's say, give or take, go get breakfast. Some days were a little earlier, some days a little later, but we get up, go get breakfast. A couple of the days we would stop. There was a beach bar on the way from our room, and the bartender there was amazing. She was so
Cece.
Good.
Her name is Cece.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, go to, if you're ever there, go to Cece's bar, say hi to Cece, get drinks from her. She's great. But so sometimes
at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes we would stop and get a drink on the way to breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, because as you do.
Because you can.
And then we go get some breakfast, come back down to Cece's bar, because that was, it was quieter, it was, because there was, like, the pool area where there were tons of people, there was music playing, you know, and then in the afternoon it was all the activities and stuff, but we liked the quieter side of things. Yeah. So we were typically more down towards the beach bar, getting drinks from Cece, because she was so good, and it was just nice to, you can actually talk and converse with people, you can joke around. There were beach beds that if you wanted to kind of just lounge around, you could lay on a beach bed and relax or read or do crafts or whatever you wanted to do.
Because that's what everybody does. It they do scrapbooking.
No, some people were working on their costumes.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, Too sharp. Okay.
Well, I was going to ask, did they have activities planned during the daytime?
There were some.
Yeah, there were some.
Tours or...
Mm-hmm.
No, so you could do tours off-site. It wasn't part of the swing set takeover, but... Some of the things that were part of the swing set takeover were a bourbon tasting, which was a lot of fun.
That was actually, that was really well done.
They did a session on pegging and anal play. They did a session on energy play, which I really wish we had gone to, but we were...
You can't do everything.
Yeah, so I'm going to be honest. When I first heard about energy play, I thought, that sounds very crunchy. Like, if I was living in Oregon or Washington State or maybe Northern California, I might be into that. But I'm not into that. But then after the experience I had on Dungeon Night and a transference of energy, and then some of the subsequent experiences that I had with a transference of energy between play partners, I really wish we had gone to Energy Night or the energy discussion so that I could maybe further understand what had happened.
Right. Okay.
So, but yeah.
They had, what were some of the other things that they had, the workshops and things?
They did a beer social thing.
Yeah, there was a wine and beer social. There were a couple of things. So there were live podcasts.
There was, and then four live podcasts.
Yeah, because Ending the Sexual Dark Age, Tristan Terramino's Sex Out Loud, the Life on the Swing Set
live And then podcast. This little podcast you might have heard about called By the By.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, so there were the four live podcasts that were done different afternoons. So there were kind of some... There was a day as well on Tuesday, because Dungeon Night was on Wednesday. But on Tuesday they did kind of a BDSM workshop type thing where they went through just different implements, different types of play. They introduced all of the DOMs that were going to be working at Dungeon Night. So anybody that was interested in it could come up and look at things or talk to them. That was when we were first introduced to the Violet Wand.
The tell me more about this.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're
the violet or violent?
Violet.
Violet.
Yeah, like purple.
Like okay, the
purple.
Color. Yeah.
The purple
one. So I had never experienced electricity play. Really, we have a shock knife, but that's not that's not what this is.
Right.
So this is something that stays plugged into the wall, and you can think of it sort of like a really mild electric shock. And it's got these glass implements, which is why it's called the violet wand, because the electricity as it goes through these glass implements is violet. It's purple.
Right. Okay.
So
the arc.
And then then you take the implements and you can touch them to the skin, and the arc is
so it can either hurt, it can tingle, it can burn a little, but it feels
interesting
is the best way I can describe it. So the fella who was showing it to us, I'll sort of cut through a lot of the chatter and just basically say, after experiencing it for 2.5 minutes, all I wanted to do was to give him a hug.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, I was like, all I want to do is give you a hug. He's like, well, come here, give me a hug. I was on a sub high for, 30 minutes? 45 minutes afterwards?
I would have said, easily an hour.
It was...
After 2 minutes.
After 2 minutes of playing with it.
Yeah, right.
Now, I admit that if we owned our own, I probably wouldn't get as much of a high for as little of play.
And it was a new experience. Because this was the new experience. A new sensation.
I was on such an, pun intended, electrical high from it that immediately I was like, we have to buy one of these. I was almost ready. If Angela had said, let's get on Amazon.com now and see if we can have one delivered to the resort tomorrow, I'd have been like, let's do it.
Sweet. Yep.
Well, if I had thought that they would do that in Mexico, I would have.
Yeah.
Because it would have been a lot cheaper than buying it here.
So Bradford went back to the apartment and tore a wire out of the
Try this. Please don't do that.
No.
But it was such an amazing experience.
Yeah.
It was unlike anything I had ever felt. And I've peed on electric fences.
Yeah. And so what he was...
Doesn't work.
It does. It hurts.
Peeing on it.
If you're close enough, if you're close enough, it arcs.
If you keep a constant stream.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay. It has to be a constant. So what, you probably were far enough away that the stream breaks up, but if you're close enough, it fucking hurts.
Right.
But the violet...
Hashtag Kentucky. Sorry.
The violet wand, though, he had that out at Dungeon Night, and he was giving people massages with it.
Wow.
Because he had an armband that he would put over his arm and then, conduct it through his fingers.
Oh, my God. Really?
Think about that one.
Wow.
And so then at one point he did a demonstration where he had it on his arm. He was holding Angela's hand, who was holding my hand, who was holding somebody else's hand. And then they touched somebody, and they could feel a shock.
Wow. Yeah.
It really is kind of awesome.
It was
sounds
magical.
Incredible.
Now, I admittedly only really liked it if it was on low. If it went any higher than that, I didn't like it.
Uh-huh.
I liked touching people with that, but I didn't like receiving it myself.
Yeah, okay.
But I think that just goes along with my personality.
What I really want to feel is Angela to have the armband on and to be massaging my balls.
Yeah.
That's what I want to feel.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I could probably almost orgasm just from that.
Please tell me we got on Amazon, one's getting delivered here.
it will. We haven't ordered it yet.
Before Christmas, we'll have one. Yeah, I think it's going to be the Christmas present to ourselves.
Nice.
Yeah. And to you, buddy.
Yay!
But it was good. I will say that workshop was nice as well, because they did introduce the DOMs that were going to be working at Dungeon Night. And so basically for Dungeon Night, they take over the disco for the whole night. And there's the couple from JV and Shara from Ending the Sexual Dark Ages podcast.
Huge shout out to them, by the way.
Yeah. So they're the ones that organized Dungeon Night. And there's a lot of other people involved, but it was originally their brainchild, their baby. And they do most of the work to set it up, I think. But anyway, they've got a double St. Andrew's cross. They've got spanking benches. They've got all these different play areas.
Suspension rigs.
And then basically off of the disco, there's a big playroom where, you can go and have sex and play and whatever. Uh-huh. They turn that into an aftercare room. So they have towels and blankets, sheets, things like that. They've got food and drinks and water for everybody for after your scene is done. And that just... There are folks that are manning that all night long and really taking very good care of people.
It just sounds so well prepared.
It really was.
Really.
Yeah.
We had never experienced anything like Dungeon Night. Really.
No. And it was... So we went up Dungeon Night, to skip ahead to that. We went up Dungeon Night And we had seen from the DOMs that were presented, there was one that, especially with Bradford being in Fox mode that night, because he was in a different headspace.
And we knew
already,
that I was going to be in a different headspace.
Yeah. So, you know, he was in a different headspace. And so there was one of the DOMs that we were like, that's who I want to play with him. That's who I want to top him. And it was Ginger from The Life on the Swing Set. It was her Domina personality.
Oof, right.
And so I went up to so basically Dungeon Knight, there's a gatekeeper. So you go up and you talk to them and you say, this is either the kind of play I'm interested in, this is the feeling, or this is what I want, or I want this person, you know, specifically. So you can leave it open-ended or you can request someone in particular. Because they had people that were doing wax, they had the electrical play, they had impact play, they had rope.
Mind fucking.
They had, Tristan Taramino was doing her mind fucking stuff there. And would listen to her live podcast and you'll get some more information.
Yeah, if you listen to, Sex Out Loud.
Yeah, and, but yeah, so all kinds of different things. But we went up there and I specifically requested Domina for Bradford, and so they're like, okay, we'll see what we can do. A few minutes later they came up and they're like, all right, you know, she wants to talk to you and see. So I went up, we went up to her, and because he was in fox mode and he's not verbal when
not
he
verbal.
Is
yeah.
And so she was talking to me and basically ignoring him because he's just a pet. So she was talking to me about what is it that, you know, he wants and what does he like and this, that. So we kind of talked about stuff, and then and I did let him speak at one point just to, you know, make sure that there wasn't anything else that he necessarily needed to say. And so he kind of just was like, yeah, that's good and whatever. And we went and looked at implements, picked out a couple of things for her to use. And it was after that, yeah, you were all hers.
I'd never had an experience like it, to be absolutely honest.
It was just amazing to sit back and watch.
Yeah.
So
just to sit back, picking out the implements, just
That was amazing.
So erotic.
So yeah, so she gets me up on the cross and she asks me, do you want to be bound to it? And I am very disciplined in that I don't have to be bound to it. Mm-hmm. So I was happy just holding on to it.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, no. And she said, okay. And one of the things, what I told her what I wanted to feel and what Angela had expressed to her that I wanted to feel was, I like impact play and I really liked impact play, but in fox mode, I also need love.
He needs cuddles.
I need cuddles. I need scritching. I need love. And so it was one of those amazing moments where Angela knows how to take care of me. And I trust that she knows how to take care of me. But I've never thought that anybody else, there's a limited number of people that I would trust with my leash. And honestly, those people are, and I'm not even sure, to be honest, I would trust you with my leash. I know you're not going to hurt me, but I also know that you might not know exactly how to handle me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's right. Cause...
So I think the people on Earth that I would trust are Angela and Lolo Lady.
Yeah.
Because I know that she knows how to handle me, because she's dealt with animals before, which is weird to say, knowing I'm a human. I know that. Anyway, so to have an immediate connection with somebody, a Dom especially, was so surprising to me that it was almost physically emotional. Like, I was emotional during most of the play, and I think I have no idea how long it went on. If you had told me it went on for 5 minutes, I would have believed that. If you had told me it went on for 45 minutes, I would have believed that.
Yeah.
It was somewhere in between that.
I have no idea really, but I would have guessed probably 20-ish minutes.
So,
yeah.
Time for me, it started to really bend and warp, which also is weird to say. But... So one of the things, you know, she would spank me, and then she would immediately put her face up against my face, and we would nuzzle.
And you love that.
Mm.
I didn't realize how important that was to me. I knew it was important to me, but this Life on the Swing Set week...
To have her do that to you as well...
It taught me how to do it, because how much importance it was.
Yeah.
Because she was one of three partners that week that I played with that was not Angela, that we did that with. And this wasn't a sexual thing. This was purely... I don't know how to explain it. It was purely
emotional
lust.
Yeah.
It was somewhere around there. But she would spank me, she would flog me, she would whip me, and then she would immediately cuddle me. And that was such... I get a little emotional just thinking about it and thinking back at how my body felt about it. And I know at one point I was shaking so much, and it was from there's so much adrenaline in your body that... You don't know what to do. You can't handle it.
Uh-huh.
So I was holding onto the cross, holding myself up, and my whole body was trembling.
You were shaking, yeah.
And it was just like, I could feel it in my legs, I could feel it everywhere, and it was all I could do to keep myself up.
Yeah.
And when she finally...
So she really took you to that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, part of what people often talk about in the kink community is that subspace, is that headspace where you're sort of in your own, it's a hypnosis. I'm already there. Almost the moment you put the collar on me, I'm there. But when you added the impact play and the cuddling, mm-hmm. Like I said, I don't remember. There's a lot of parts of that I don't remember. I don't remember. I remember being on the cross, and I remember being in the aftercare room. But I don't remember anything that happened in between that. I don't remember walking around. I know at some point there was a lady on the other side of the cross from me, so we were face to face. And I remember there was a few things that bothered me about the way her partner was treating her. But at the same time, there was nothing I could really do about it because I was in a different space.
But that was part of their scene. So it was...
Yes.
Yeah.
But it bothered me because right. That wasn't my scene.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that...
Wow, so you really were just taking on an emotional roller coaster.
It was like, such a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
I can't fully describe, and I wish that there was a way that I could explain to folks what it was like, but the best I can come up with is like, imagine that you win the lottery and you're like, I don't ever have to work again, and also no matter what I eat, I won't get fat. It's that feeling. You know, it's just like you're on permanent vacation and you won't get fat. I mean, those two things. Also, your libido is always at 11.
And you're getting cuddles.
And that everybody loves you. No. Everybody's aroused by you. So, yeah, it was such a great feeling.
Yeah.
Oof. Dungeon Night that was just, a yeah. highlight.
And it was nice because we sat in the dungeon area basically the rest of the night just watching other people and other scenes. And there was one person who had said that after watching you and your experience, it prompted them to try... You know, impact play and to try something like that because, you know, knowing that it doesn't have to be just all brute force, that uh-huh. there can be yeah. softness and cuddles, and their scene went on for a very long time, but it was so lovely to watch yeah. and just mesmerizing. But it was just, it was great to see all the different kinds of play that were going on. The wax play was just gorgeous yeah. to watch them do that.
So, and to give you sort of an idea of where my mindset is, and this, you know, gentlemen, you know me, so you know how relaxed I am rarely. When after my scene was done, still in collar and leash, it was chilly in the dungeon because all this is happening, and
they cooled it way down
yeah. so that the people, both the doms and the subs, could feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But if you just came up there to watch, it was chilly.
Yeah.
And one lady was, she was like, oh, it's really cold. And I remember, I don't remember her talking to me. I remember, all I remember is her saying, well, can he sit next to me?
Yeah.
Asking you that.
Yeah.
And Angela was like, yeah. And sort of got me up sitting next to her. And I was warm because I'm always warm. Yeah. And I'm wearing all the fur. So she's petting the fur. And I literally fell asleep while she was petting me. And I'm laying against her back. She was leaning forward just enough that I could get my head between the seat and her back.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those, like, at one moment, I thought, I am an animal.
Yeah.
This, I feel like an animal.
You were curled up yeah, next to her.
I was curled up yeah. next to her. She's petting my leg and arm, yeah. and I fell asleep. And I don't know how long I was asleep for, but it was that just that wonderful comfort of feeling, knowing that you're 100% safe with uh-huh. the people around you,
yeah. Yeah.
and that you have nothing to worry about, which... Mm-hmm. I could count on one hand the number of times I felt that secure.
But I would say yeah. that that whole week was like that.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't a time that I felt unsafe or insecure or, ooh, I really need to watch and see what these people are going to do because something might happen. There wasn't a time that entire week that I felt like that yeah. whatsoever.
Yeah, or it's even surreal. It sounds like holding back because you were worried about what other people
yeah.
think.
Exactly. And I knew nobody was going to judge me uh-huh. because
it was also,
it didn't matter who I was. I was me, and that was enough.
Yeah.
And it also, talking about the safety aspect, is that it was a very consent-driven week. And so people were always asking, you know, may I hug you? May I kiss you?
Is this okay?
Or, you know, yeah. if you had a costume on, can I pet you? Or whatever it was. But yeah, and I think that added to that feeling of safety is because you didn't have to worry about anyone groping you or anything like that.
Yeah. And the number of times, so this was, I think, maybe the third time I've been out in public on leash.
Yeah.
And the number of people that spoke to Angela and not me, because they understood the dynamic.
Yeah.
This was the first time that people literally that completely understood the dynamic. When we've gone to Hellfire before, people talk to me. And it makes me really uncomfortable when I'm in subspace to try, because I feel like I should respond.
Because you're in the headspace to not respond.
Yeah. And then it's that sort of conflict of real world and sub world, and how do you balance that?
Yeah.
But in this location, it was very much people. I don't remember anyone speaking to me.
No one spoke to you directly. There was one person that asked, "Is he verbal?"
That's right.
But they were an animal as well, and so maybe some are, some aren't. Yeah. But they did ask if you were verbal.
Pony.
Yeah, she was a pony.
Right.
A beautiful, beautiful pony. And
handmade tail. Damn, girl. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Damn.
But I said no, and that was fine. Okay. And then she talked to me. But I think everybody else just assumed and didn't even talk to you. Yeah.
Which is funny, because thinking through the night, I don't remember a lot of points of that night. Which is interesting. I remember the dealing with Domina.
Yeah.
And I remember falling asleep on the lady because she was comfortable and I liked her.
Yeah.
And she smelled nice. I mean, just like, those are the things I really remember about the night. She petted me and made me feel safe. She gave me scritches. It was, such an amazing...
Yeah. The whole dungeon
The whole week was like that.
Yeah.
If you can take sort of that feeling of safety and comfort.
The whole thing just sounds incredibly well organized and incredibly well put together and thought out.
Yeah.
And there was, looking at the whole week, there were a lot of activities. There was a lot of stuff going on. So that week was a lot more active for us. We did some laying around, like on beach beds and stuff. But it was also, we wanted to interact with so many different people that it felt a little busier. Whereas the second week, we had a lot more downtime.
Yeah. I suppose mindset as well, I think. You probably went in there knowing that the second week would have been more...
We did.
Would have been more relaxing, so...
And we
went in knowing that. Take the opportunity while you've got it, because it sounded...
Yeah, and we did...
We pushed ourselves very hard in the first week so that we could chill out a little more in the second week.
Yeah.
With that said, let's take... we're going to stop for tonight.
Okay.
And we'll catch up.
Aww.
I know. But don't worry. We're not going to stop. But the listeners at home have to stop.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and we'll continue this conversation for the listeners at home, looking at you microphone people, next week.
Yep.
In the meantime, if you want to contact us, we are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at By the By Podcast. You can email us theatomsoflove@gmail.com. Our website is www.bytheby.com.au. If you want to get some of our geeky sex toy stuff, you hear us talking about that quite often, you can go to www.geekysextoys.com/bythebuy, B-Y-T-H-E-B-I, and that helps us out, that helps them out, and that helps you out. They ship worldwide, so you can get all the wonderful toys from them. If you want to help us out in other ways, you can go to patreon.com and become a patron, slash by the by podcast. And you can become one of our patrons and get access to our day-by-day podcast that we did while we were at Desire, both weeks. It's like 137 minutes, or no. It's an hour and 37 minutes. 97 minutes. There you go. I can do math.
Yes, that's right.
The gentleman's over there.
Oh, yeah, it took me a while to catch up. That's fine.
If you want to, and you should, follow the gentleman on Twitter. He is... The gentleman,
the underscore gentleman 79.
If you have direct messages you want to send to him, you can send them to me, and I will make sure he gets them.
Bye, thank you. Bye for now, microphone people.
Hi, I'm Mr. Pent, co-host of Life on the Swing Set, and you're listening to a Swing Set Network podcast on swingset.fm.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.